First, we want to take you to a children's home, an orphanage, in Guatemala. This weekend, an American woman is visiting a baby boy there. She's hoping to make him one of the 21,000 children that Americans adopt from overseas every year. But a worldwide effort to protect against fraud is forcing changes to Guatemala's adoption rules. Partly because of those changes, Jenny Mahon does not know when or if she'll be allowed to bring home the baby that she first saw in an adoption agency snapshot 6 months ago. She was holding the baby when we called her in Antigua, Guatemala.
The actual children's home I'm in is called Semillas de Amor, which in English is Seeds of Love. Hold on 1 second.
Take your time.
He might go to sleep.
Jenny Mahon lives in California, where she's raising another baby that she adopted from Guatemala 2 years ago. Her husband is a police sergeant. Their extended family has been helping to pay the thousands of dollars that an overseas adoption costs, money for an adoption agency, for a Guatemalan lawyer, and for trips to see the child. Adoptive parents say they accept the time and expense because there's a shortage of newborn babies inside the U.S. Jenny Mahon sees plenty of children in the Guatemalan children's home.
Well, one of them is crying right now because she wants more food and they can't give it to her fast enough. And we've got a couple in the back that are in kind of an art class right now.
This is your fourth visit to Guatemala for this particular baby?
Yes, for Michael.
And are you hoping to take him home this time?
No. Of course, I'm hoping always, but no, I won't be able to take him home this time.
You adopted a child a couple of years ago. Now you're trying to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Is this time any harder than last time was?
Completely. Completely different and much harder.
How so?
We were told that there was some complications starting to happen with the government, that the adoption process was going to change considerably.
Guatemala is one of the latest countries to rework its adoption rules in the face of a flood of would-be parents from overseas. The government is trying to crack down after some children were kidnapped for sale on the international adoption market. Adoption lawyers, agencies, and the government are debating an international treaty meant to protect the rights of children and their families. They are also debating which Guatemalans will receive an estimated $45 million in annual adoption fees. A legal battle has led to delays and confusion in Guatemala. But the author of a book called Adoption Nation says it's about time governments crack down.
We have finally begun to look at this practice of moving children, tens of thousands of children a year, from one country to another and saying, this deserves our attention.
That's author Adam Pertman, the director of a think tank called the Evan B. Donaldson Adoption Institute. Pertman is one of many experts offering their opinions to the U.S. government as it decides how to follow that international treaty, which is known as the Hague Convention. The U.S. State Department is now considering new regulations for American agencies that arrange international adoptions. To get accredited by the government, the agencies would have to hire highly qualified staffs. They would also have to provide itemized bills that show how they spend their customers' money. Adam Pertman says adoptive parents and the children they're seeking could use more protection.
There are clear abuses such as birth mothers being paid money to relinquish their children. That's a clear abuse. We see instances of that. We see more subtle problems that some people will define differently. A lot of people who go abroad to adopt have thousands of dollars stashed in their socks in order to pay off local officials. Now, that is, bakshish and other similar bribery systems exist in certain countries, and we know that. Should it go on? Does it promote good practice for people to have thousands of dollars in their socks? I would argue we need a system that minimizes those sorts of problems.
Though it's hard to argue with the spirit of the treaty, its critics contend that some children get left behind. 2 decades ago, Hannah Wallace adopted a child from Honduras. She later started an adoption agency, as many Americans adopted Honduran babies. But then the Honduran government tried to impose new safeguards, and Hannah Wallace says adoptions virtually stopped.
The orphanages, private and public orphanages, are just crowded with children who are in limbo.
You're telling me that in Honduras there are a lot of kids who end up just not getting adopted at all because of the effort to implement these new procedures?
Yeah, if they're abandoned physically or even relinquished by the birth parent, they end up in institutions.
People who might have gone to Honduras for a child 20 years ago are now going to Guatemala.
Yes.
By last year, Guatemala had become one of the four most popular places for Americans to adopt, along with Russia, China, and South Korea. Now, as pressure mounts for changes in Guatemala, it's getting harder for some private adoption agencies to do business there. Hannah Wallace argues that the government is delaying many adoptions because of a few abuses.
Our U.S. Embassy in Guatemala conducts intensive investigations into each adoption. They have found under 5% fraud.
Well, let me just, if I could stop you for a second there. Yeah. I mean, if you say under 5% fraud in this one particular country, if we assume that 5% of the adoption cases that come to the United States are fraudulent, that's still hundreds of kids. Aren't there abuses that need to be corrected here?
Well, there are provisions for correcting those abuses. Those people are discovered through the investigation process that already exists.
She points out that the U.S. government already tries to make sure that adopted children are really orphans. In Guatemala, the U.S. now conducts DNA testing on adopted children before allowing them an American visa. Last year, the U.S. actually shut down all adoptions from Cambodia amid reports that adoption brokers were tricking poor mothers into surrendering their children. Angry adoptive parents called it an overreaction. The shifting regulations sometimes frustrate would-be parents or prompt them to seek out new frontiers as they look for available children.
There was a farmer, had a dog, and Bingo was named B-I-N-G-O.
That's the voice of Noelle Capone, a 3-year-old native of China, as videotaped by her proud American mother. Deb Capone adopted Noelle in the year 2000, and she now writes books for adopted children. She looks at the shifting regulations with a mixture of approval and apprehension.
I am not in favor of trafficking in human life. I'm in favor of anything that protects the rights of the children. I don't want to see unnecessary regulation that would preclude people from adopting.
So you're thinking about adopting again?
Yeah. I would love another child.
And how far along are you in that process?
I'm far enough along that I've talked to a number of people who tell me, "Are you crazy? You're 45. What are you doing? You have a beautiful daughter from China. Why would you take the risk again?" And you know what? I would take the risk again because I have a beautiful daughter from China.
Deb Capone doesn't think her second child will come from China. Her adoption agency told her that China's rules have changed, making it harder for single mothers like her to adopt. For her next effort, Capone is considering a journey deep into Central Asia, to a country that American adoptive parents are just beginning to explore. She may go to Kazakhstan when she tries to find a sibling for Noelle.
God bless America, your home, sweet home! God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Our website features a picture of Noelle Capone and links to more information about international adoptions. And, of course, that website is npr.org.